Okay. Well, here we are this morning, and we want to, as is our custom, we want to consider the word of this morning and want to read from a couple passages in the scripture. How's everyone doing tonight? You doing all right on this Lord's Day? Is this the first Sunday in November, right? Won't be long before that bad stuff starts coming. And I've quizzed a few people this morning on, you know, I said, well, notice the thing different about me. Looked hard. And they mentioned, you know, I look ugly today. It's No Shave November, right? Some people think I'm off with that, but it is. It's No Shave November. So actually, what this is right here, this is called aggravation. I'm aggravating my wife. She just hates it. But I thought, you know, I'd add a little. Our lives have been getting a little boring lately. I only could wish for boring. So I thought I'd add a little, you know, make life interesting in my marriage and just aggravate her. But I got glasses. Anyways, okay. Well, here we are. And here's my message this morning. As we've been talking, and we have said that there are certain concrete givings that become us, that become a part of our lives, and become second nature to us when we become followers of Christ. And not only do these things begin to unpack in our lives, but we also have to take care that we do not take these things for granted, that they require certain maintenance, that we can grow in these things. The first one we talked about last week was giving, right? Anybody want to take a stab at a couple things that we said about giving? What did we say about giving last week? Remember? Talk about giving. Well, let's talk about the three. What are the three that we're going to be talking about? Giving, praying, and suffering, right? And who knows, maybe today's the day for suffering. By the looks of the crowd, I think certain people thought today was the day we talk about suffering and stayed home. But I just might fool you and play a switcheroo. But anyways, what did we say about giving last week? Okay, yes, more blessed. That was one of our takeoff scriptures, wasn't it? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so that's where we started. We said a number of things about giving, remembering that we are saying that giving becomes a part of our lives, that it's so, you know, it's like, you know, after me, you come first. And so much of our lives revolves around me, myself, and I. And the thing that's broken, we said, in salvation, when Jesus died on the cross, not only were our sins forgiven, but the power of those sins in our lives that turned us into me, 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 that turned us into ourselves being, you know, the center of our universe. Jesus broke that. We weren't made. You and I were not made to be the center of our worlds. We were made to be giving people. We were made to be inclusive people. We were made to be loving without having to receive something for ourselves. We were made that way. And when a person becomes a follower of Christ, not only do they receive forgiveness of sins, which is huge, which is big, but we also receive a new nature, and that new nature is not selfish. That new nature is anything but selfish. It is a giving, what we call generous nature. We want to give. That's a part of who we are now, giving. It's part of our new nature, what we might call our born-again nature. Now, It's not to suggest that any of these things, giving and talk about today, praying and suffering, it's not to say that, you know, as we're talking about these things being second nature in our lives, in as much as appetite is second nature in my life, you know, and breathing is second nature in my life. It's not as though we don't run into complications with these things. In fact, you know, when a person is sick, one of the first things with some sicknesses to go is your what? Your appetite. And you have to be careful. And not only that, but even in, you know, normal eating practices. I was joking downstairs at our 9 o'clock chat with the pastor, which went very well. There was, what, a good, what, maybe 8, 10 of us anyways downstairs at 9 a.m., 10, maybe 10, at least 10 of us downstairs. That's open to everyone. Next Sunday, 9 a.m., be a part of that group. We had a great time. We had donuts. And it was the first donut the first filled donut that I had probably in all of a year, anyways. I'm quite proud of myself. I fell off the wagon today. Did it ever fit? The fall was wonderful. That's all I got to say. It was one of those Dunkin' Donuts, the pumpkin ones with the baker's cream, you know, the white cream inside. I fell. And it was all but wonderful. I mean, it was all and wonderful. You know, though it is second nature to us, our appetites, if you ate donuts every day, you'd be in trouble. You know what I'm saying, Cliff? You'd be in trouble. And we only get kind of people that we love, you know. But seriously, though, we have to, you know, our appetites are something to be, we have to take care of it. It's not only to be maintained, but there's a growth and a discipline to these things. And so it is with giving. So it is with praying. So it is with suffering. And these things need maintenance. They need attention. They need care. And we grow in these things. So it's not to suggest that though these things are now a part of our lives as Christians, let's take giving, for instance, that you still have to learn how to give and break a cycle of selfishness. That's there. Today we're going to be talking about praying. And it's not to say that, boy, you know, we need to work on our praying. We're going to be talking about that. We need to grow in praying. No, we need to take care of praying. So though these things are intuitive, have become intuitive to us, concrete givens, as I might call them, they are something that we need to work at as well. And so today we want to look at, and I want to look at this whole area of praying by saying that praying is nothing if not talking and listening to God. And so it's a two-sided coin. Praying is not only talking to God, but praying is talking and what? Listening to God, so that it is not monologue. And you might think that about praying, that, you know, I go to God and I tell him something. You know, I make my request to God. No, prayer is bigger than that. The flip side of that is listening. He talks back. God talks back. And so we want to read a couple of scriptures this morning to kind of round out where we want to go in this, and I say round out to say that each of these areas are areas that is, you know, giving and praying and suffering areas. Well, we could take a long, long time. These are series all by themselves, and so we're making a lot of generalized statements, trying to make, you know, zero in on a couple of specifics. But boy, we're just scratching the surface, but hopefully saying something that we can sink our teeth into and really be a help to us, that these things will be a help to you where you're at in your following of Jesus. Is that cool? Because that's what really matters, that you have takeaways and it means something to you in your life, so that as you walked away last week and heard about giving, and I say, let's take a test here this one. How's your giving doing? how's your giving today? And so today as well, we want to talk about pray. And the takeaway is that you go away from here and you say, wow, you know what? Am I following of Jesus? I have this thing about me now that, you know, yeah, hey, I want to talk to God. I want to listen to God. Is that happening? You know, is that happening? Are you gonna take some steps for that to be at work in your life? What? Praying. Okay? So that's important, and that's part and parcel to everything in our lives as Christians when we come to the Word. It's seeing this Word practiced in our lives, not by the power of, you know, whether it's moral, you know, moral power, oh, you know, I ought to do this, this is what I gotta do. It's not some kind of religious thing, but it's out of our relationship with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can talk about that another time. So praying is nothing if not talking, going a step further, the other side, and listening to God. Now that's simply put, isn't it? That's simple. Well, let me read a couple of scriptures, okay, as we go here and talk about praying. And here's the full impact of what I want us to look at today, praying. Praying is making ourselves present to the divine presence. Praying is becoming present. It's putting yourself, making yourself present to the divine presence. Let's pray. I want to begin. I just want to look at three scripture verses, as is my MO. We want to stitch everything into the Word this morning. And the first is Philippians chapter 4. Each of these passages of scripture have to do with praying, of course. And each of these scriptures, and I'll mention it when we get to it, correlates to a particular point that I want to make when we get there. Okay? Last week, and I thought someone might come up with this, in speaking about giving, we said, you know, why give? Well, why give? And there were three L's. We try to alliterate sometimes to make it easier to remember. And the three L's were, anybody remember? See, you say, well, are you discouraged by that? No, I have to work harder. I have to work harder. The three L's were, you know, why give? We give because we love. Remember now? We love. We do it out of love. For God so loved that He gave. You know? We give because He is the Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I give in response to obedience to His Lordship in my life, Lord. Jesus is not my big buddy, the man upstairs. He is my Lord. Jesus is. And giving is part of my obedience to Him, is my Lord. And also the last L, anybody remember at all the last L?
No.
La! Oh, somebody pat that guy on the back. I'm telling you, wonderful. Loan. That when we give, it's like loaning our money to the Lord. And the idea is there that He returns it with interest back to us. Given it what? Shall be given unto you. And so today, again, there are going to be three answers to why pray. And they're each going to start with the letter C. And each one of those is going to correspond to these three passages of Scripture. Okay? Got it? So, and I'll let you know in a moment. But first of all, let's just read the scriptures, okay? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. There's a mouthful right there. Rejoice always. That's pretty impressive. In the Lord. And then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now here it is, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't let anything trouble you to the extent, to the point of anxiety. Just don't let it. Well, how do I get there? He says, he tells us in the next phrase. But in everything, by prayer, you see it there? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present. There's that wonderful word. Present your request to God. You see it? Don't be troubled about with anxiety over anything. But in everything, talk to God about it. See? Talk to God about it. Then look at what he says here. And he says, if you do that, isn't this wonderful? The peace of God. See, the thing that we need most when we're in anxiety is peace. And he says, the peace of God. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. You ever say to yourself, man, I just don't get it. There's a peace that's able to come into your life, into my life, during times of anxiety that puts us at rest even when we don't get it. And the context of that is praying. Pray. And he says it's going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to set up guard to watch out for you. The context again is what? Praying. Thank you, Dolores. Praying. And then the next verse is from 1 John. Very important verse of scripture when it comes to praying. I think somewhat overlooked at times by us when it comes to praying. That so much is said about praying. So much is said about praying. Simply put, praying is talking and listening to God. That's simple, isn't it? Pray. And here's a verse of scripture that we got to look at and consider when it comes to praying. It's obvious when it comes to praying, but sometimes we overlook the obvious. You ever been there before, overlooking the obvious? You know, it's simple. It's, you know, it's like, where are my glasses? Where are my, I know I set them down someplace. You know, it's like, oh, I'm wearing them. And we face those kinds of things. And here it is. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13. 1 John 5:13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. This is, again, one of the concrete givens about followers of Christ. Followers of Christ, those who are born again, they know they have eternal life. See, I'm not waiting for eternal life to happen when I die. It's happening right now while I'm alive. Eternal life is in my life. Christ is in my life. This is an amazing thing. Someone should be up dancing. And so he said in verse 14, I'm trying my best this morning to help us get this. All right? Verse 14, he says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence that we have when we present ourselves, we make ourselves, when you make yourself present to the divine presence, and you're about to talk to God, and you're about to listen, to hear something back from Him, this is the confidence we have when we approach Him. The confidence that when we talk, He does hear us, and He does answer us. Come. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, notice the qualifier. What's the qualifier? Anybody, take a guess. Help. Huh? According to His will. According to His will. So again, in the context of prayer, that when we pray, that we are praying and making prayers according to God's will. Now, this shouldn't be anything that is surprising to us. praying will of God prayers, because we are introduced to this immediately. The little boy who thought God's name was Art, remember? He says, Jesus, in teaching us to pray, says what? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What? Thy kingdom come. What? Thy what? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's no surprise to us that when we pray to our Father in heaven, that the occupation, the direction, if you will, what we're aiming at in praying is the will of God. And a lot can be said about that. We'll touch on it in just a moment. But just look at it in Scripture. See it there. Let it fill your imagination. It says, when we pray that way, he hears us. And it says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, according to his will, we know that we have what we've asked for. Wow. That's pretty amazing stuff. Here's the last one. The last one is Luke chapter 10, and it's a story. Or I should say it's an incident in the life of Jesus, where he visits his friends in Luke chapter 10. He visits them. He shows up at their house. Martha and Mary. Shows up at their house. It's Jesus, Martha. It's Jesus, Mary says. Oh, come in. Come in. And being good guests, they begin to entertain him in their home. And that's where we're at here. Listen to the story here. The real life incident in the life of Jesus. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Notice, two sisters, Mary, does what? Sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Listen to what he said. But Martha was distracted. Notice how we're filled in about these two people now. Contrast is made. I'm just helping you to see what's going on here. And she was distracted by all the preparations. So she finally, you know, in this kind of, you know, my sister just isn't getting it. My sister just isn't getting it. She goes to Jesus. And she says, Lord, you know, I beg, you know. Will you point my sister in the right direction here? Get off her butt, you know, put her apron on, come and help me for heaven's sake. Thinking that she'd get somewhere with Jesus because obviously he sees what's going on. And Jesus does the exact opposite of what Martha thought he would do. Instead of saying, you know what, Martha, you're talking straight. He sets Martha straight. And he says, oh, no. He says, sorry, Martha, but what Mary's doing is better than what yours is. That's basically what he said. Leave her alone. Sitting at his feet, doing what? Listen. Did we pray? Did I pray? So, Lord, bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Amen. And so, as simple as it is to consider praying, being talking to God, I talk to him. As simple as it is to say that not only, you know, I can't stop there, that it's not monologue, me telling God, filling him in. I think that's important to fill him in, to talk to him. But I got to listen. Got to be listening. And as simple as that is, and as simple as praying is, that you know, you don't have to you know, go to school and take prayer 101, then 201 and 401, whatever, and get this. You know, this education in praying before you can pray. No. In as much as I said that, you know, a follower of Christ, it's innate. It's within us to pray. It's within us to pray. open your mouth and you can pray. You know, in Spanish we say, aprende a orar orando. And, you know, you learn to pray by praying. And as much as, how did you learn to talk? How did you learn to speak? Well, if you think about it, you just learn to speak by what? Talking. If you looked at kids, how your kids learn to talk, they learn to talk by talking. Oh, she's saying dada. And before long, it's daddy. And before long, it's dad. Can I have the keys in the car? You know. And the same thing with praying. As much as it is with a lot of things, we learn to do it by doing it. And that's the simplicity of praying. Anyone can pray. Talking and listening to God. And as simple as it is, there are complexities to prayer. There are complexities. And growing, this is the part where we got to talk about growing and maturing in our prayer lives, in our praying. And as much as, you know, in my giving, I want to be a good giver. So in my praying, I want to be a good prayer. And so there's complexities in praying that we got to look at. And I'm just going to mention them, maybe comment on them, and then get to our three C's that correspond to our three passages of Scripture. And the complexity of prayer is seen in, first of all, we have to understand that our whole lives pray. Our whole lives pray. Now that we have come to Christ, my life is a prayer to God. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that, you know, I can be driving my car and I can be praying. It means that I can be in a crowd of people and I don't have to go to my knees and have, you know, assume some sort of praying position to pray, but I can be praying under my breath. I can be praying in my heart, as we say, right? And also that, so whatever the, you know, however it is that my life goes, wherever it is that my life goes, my life is a prayer. My whole life prays to God. And I think that's important to see, because what that speaks about is the fact that I have a living, vital connection to the living, real God, 24/7. This isn't a Sunday thing that I do. This isn't a religious thing that I check off. Yeah, I'm a religious person. And it's bigger than this. Is that clear? See, that's part of the complexity of it. Here's another one that's part of the complexity of prayer, the different parts of praying. See, not merely complexity because it's hard to understand. Now, these things that I'm mentioning, they take a long time to work out in our lives. But complex meaning that, as simple as it is, there's lots of different parts to it. And there are different kinds of praying. Different kinds of praying. So that I can, you know, what we're doing here this morning when we worship is a kind of prayer. When you open your mouth and you're not merely a spectator. You know, we don't have the worship team here to do for us the praying, the worshiping. No, they are what engaged in ministry to include us, to draw us to participate along with them in worship. And the music helps us. And hopefully it moves us. How can there be worship if there isn't movement? Come on, I got to move, man. You know? Doesn't it move you? And I believe that the Holy Spirit moves us. On that great day when God stood on the great cosmos as it was in chaos, and he spoke his word, it said that the Spirit of God moved, and God spoke. And there was creation. And I believe that as we come into the presence of God and there is that worship going on, the Spirit of God is moving and he's moving us. You know? And there are different kinds. And here's one of the kinds that I want to strongly recommend. There are a lot of different kinds of praying. In one of the passages that we read, Philippians, it tells us of different kinds. You know, requesting, petitions, thanksgiving, different kinds of praying. There's intercessory praying. There's warfare praying. There's all kinds of praying. There's waiting praying. And one of the kinds of praying that I want to strongly recommend for you to start immediately, and that is simply this: pray your Bibles. What you read, turn into prayer. When you read the Bible and you read a passage, you know, turn it into prayer. Pray. The Bible is a prayer book. And in fact, we have a prayer book altogether set aside as a prayer book in the Bible. That's the book of Psalms. Look, when you read the Psalms, use them as prayers for your life, for yourself. There are prayers in the Bible. Find those prayers in the Bible. You know, just Google it. Prayers in the Bible. And it will come up. There's in almost all of the epistles in the Bible, but more besides that, where prayers are actually mentioned. There's one that we pray, we know it by heart, most of us, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. Right? The Lord's Prayer. Find prayers in the Bible and pray them. You'll have no greater, you know, dimension to your prayer life than praying the prayers of the Bible. Strongly recommend it. And then a part of the complexity of praying is there are those times that we do designate for praying. There are those times. And our lives can't be successful as followers of Christ without those times. Yes, my whole life prays, and I pray throughout the day. But as someone coined the phrase a long time ago, 7 days, I'll wait for some of you to catch up because I know how you are not getting this God's made be an art thing. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Thank you, W-E-A-K. For those of you who didn't get it, Cliff. So, there are those times. See, part of the complexity of prayer that we set aside to pray. We call them our daily what? Devotions. Our daily devotions. And as a part of our daily devotions, we have a time in which we have set up, have structured into our lives to pray. Part of the routine of my life. It's more than routine because it's time in which I am making myself, see, I've designated a time, I'm taking this time to make myself present to the divine presence. That's praying. Wow. So we see these things that go into the complexity of prayer. Okay, let's move on now. So let's ask ourselves the question, as much as we ask ourselves the questions, why give? Next week, we have a guest speaker next week. You're not going to want to miss next week, but the following week, God helping us. That's not for sure, but at least in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be speaking on suffering. We'll ask the same question, the suffering. You know, why suffer? Is that what you want an answer to that? Why do I have to suffer? We've asked why give, and we answered it. We want to ask the question, so why pray? Why pray? What would you say? Why pray? Why do you pray? Why do I pray? And if I asked for comments from each of us, I'm sure that whatever you would say, most of you anyways, and we'd say, yeah, that's right on. But it's big. You know, why do we pray? And I want to answer that question by looking at three reasons why we pray, to say, why pray? Because. Why pray? Because it gives us great comfort. That's the first C. What's the first C? Comfort. And I'll explain what we mean by that, by comfort, but great comfort. Why pray? Why pray? Because we receive counsel, the greatest of all counsel, from God when we pray. I mean, imagine that. It's one thing to hear from a friend, a good friend. It's one thing to hear from smart people. It's one thing to be in a pinch and have to get counsel here or there. But to say that when I pray because I receive counsel from God, ooh, wow, that's pretty major. So I pray because I'm going to get counsel from God. And the last C is I pray because I am in communion with God. I pray because I have a fellowship. I have a relationship with God in which we communicate with each other. And beyond the communicating, there is communion. There's communion. Okay, so we talk about comfort. How many of you remember this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? Some of you remember this and know this song. Some of you don't. I'll just read the first stanza. So when we pray, we receive great comfort. This is what I mean by that, taken from this song. He says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Here it is. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so we pray because it gives to us great comfort. And now you can collate that first passage of Scripture to this first point, Philippians. So don't be anxious in anything. He says, bring comfort, bring peace to your heart. Talk to God about everything. That's the key to comfort. Talk to Him about everything. There's nothing too small, and certainly there isn't anything too big to tell God. Bring it to Him. Talk to God about everything. Remembering it's not monologue, it's dialogue. Bring it to Him. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about the Psalms. The wonderful thing about the Psalms is that everything that you can possibly imagine about life is found in the book of Psalms. Everything is found there. Everything. And as it's found there, everything that you can imagine about life is found there in the book of Psalms. And it's found there in the form of what? Come on, in the form of what? In the form of what? Prayer. Of bringing it to God, of talking to God about it, everything. What a tremendous key it is. It brings great comfort. That, man, you know what, I can go to God with that. I mean, just saying that ought to bring comfort to you, to me. Listen, you got this going on, you can go to God with that. It's not like here's the deal. Well, God doesn't say, well, to get to me with that, first of all, pay up. pay up. No. He's readily available. Always accessible. And it's like everything. Okay, I said it enough times, didn't I? What's the word? Everything. Here's the next one, counsel. Counsel. Now, here's the thing about receiving counsel from God. The first thing is receiving counsel from God. There's so many things we can say. There are so many first things we can say. In receiving counsel from God, you got to trust that he's got the best counsel for you, for your life. He's got the best counsel. Now, if you can't trust that he has the best counsel for your life, no matter what counsel you receive from him, will it do you any good? Because you'll take it and you'll think, well, I know better, or I think this is better, rather than applying the counsel he gives. And the fact of the matter is, as we've read, and this is the passage that goes with this point, 1 John, praying will of God prayers. That I'm going to trust that God's will for my life behind his will for my life is a loving heavenly Father who has my best interest in mind right down to every T crossed and every I dotted. He does. His best interest. He's got my best interest at heart. He's my heavenly what? Father. And how many other passages can we go to prove that point? Oh, so many. But just to hear me say it. See, counsel, that I trust God for everything. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to tell him everything. And here with his counsel, I'm going to trust him for everything. I'm going to trust his counsel in everything. That's big. Will of God praying. That to believe that behind everything is his good will for me. Here's the last one. The last one is communion. And this might be one of the toughest things. Because most of us don't like to wait. We usually say it how? Hurry up and wait. You know? If I can hurry up, I'll wait. You know? It's like, I'll wait if I can have it now. Type of thing. Most of us don't like to wait. You know, I had to change the oil in Sandra's car yesterday because that's what husbands do and why I'm growing this beard to aggravate her. Why can't she take her own car to get the oil changed? And, you know, I want to get there and I pull up and there's two cars in there ahead of me and I got to wait. And so I get out of the car. And the first thing I do, I walk up to the guy and I say, oh, listen, am I next? How long is this going to take? And I want to know. Right down to the minute. Yeah. It's like, you know, rule of wits. Settle down, boy. You got a book in the back seat. Sit down, fill out your book, do some reading, relax. I tried. I'll give myself a 65. Is 65 passing?
Yeah. Just barely.
But just thank you.
That's a D.
Yeah, it's a D. Yeah, just barely, you know. I did the reading, but I'm like, come on, you know. It's backing out. Put the book away, I'm ready. Hurry up and wait. And that's, you know, communion has a lot to do with waiting. It does. Because here's the point. Learn about God in everything. Learn about God in everything. That's tough. And it doesn't happen by way of, you know, God doesn't come and he doesn't say, you know what? You see, okay, you know, you're about to experience X, Y, and Z in your life. This is God now coming before you. He said, you're about to experience X, Y, and Z in your life. And here are the three things that you really need to get a hold of. And if you do this 1, 2, and 3, and watch out for this over here, watch out for that, you'll have a successful outcome to this thing. And oh, by the way, it'll probably take, you know, a month. And you got it. I can only wish that life would be like that in my relationship with him. It's like, instead, relationship in life is so ongoing. And the thing about that ongoingness of life and my relationship with God is that we cannot learn of God in a hurry. We just can't. And we're going to learn about this when we talk about suffering, but also often the things when it comes to communion that I learn about God, I learn through the long ongoing process of waiting on God. Waiting. I wonder how much of our knowledge of God has been interrupted, and I haven't come through to a full knowing of Him because I jumped ship. I didn't bide my time. Think of it in these terms. The scripture says of Joseph, remember Joseph? He received the dream at 17. Let's use him as an example. And at 17, he received a dream of God's purpose for him in his life that was written in the decrees and purposes of God from all eternity. Joseph, this is what your life is going to be about. He was 17. It took from 13 to 20 years for Joseph to come into that. Imagine that. And in his dream, he saw himself more or less as someone of great stature. In fact, we could say a prince. Isn't that right? That's how he saw himself in the dream. Bowing down to him, all this stuff. Instead of bowing down to him, what happens to him for 13 years? His brothers do him in, right? The reject his family rejects him to the point of saying he is dead. They fabricate an accident about his life to give to the family. He was killed by wild animals. His brothers didn't like him. Reject. He's sold from there into slavery. He becomes a slave. While he is a slave, he's falsely accused of sexual impropriety. He's accused of trying to rape his master's wife. Falsely accused. As a result of that, where does he go? Prison. Now, in prison, he's there for quite a while. And think of it this way. In all of that occasion, we have ample evidence that Joseph trusted God. We have ample evidence that Joseph maintained his communion with God because he made it to the end. Now, just think if he would have jumped ship at any point. When his brothers tried to reject him, he would have said, nuts on this, God, find somebody else to fulfill that promise. What if he would have said, when Potiphar's wife, what if he would have consented to hop in bed with Potiphar's wife when she approached him and propositioned him? What if he would have said, hey, well, I'm a young man. I got hormones. What if he would have done that? What if while he was in prison, he would have said, nuts on everybody. I'm going to, number one, he would have. But no, he maintained his communion with God. He followed it through to the end. And as a result of that communion with God, he learned about God in everything. That's what communion with God is all about. And here's the deal. Unless we spend time with him, A.W. Tozer says, he says it like this. God cannot be satisfactorily known unless we spend time with him. And so that's the whole idea. What's God like? What's God like? Well, how much time have you given to him to learn what he's like? And I ask myself the same question. You know what that is? Communion. Communion. And oftentimes in relationship with other people that I want to get to know, I refuse to ask people, what do you do? I don't want to do that. But people that I'm close to, and we want to build relationship, communion, here's a good thing to know. My middle name is Julia. That's pretty cool. I have 4 grandkids. And other things, you know, about me. And these are up close and personal things. It would be like, you know, what do you know really about Governor Malloy? Now, here we go. I know I'm touching off a firestorm here, you know. But the idea being about Governor Malloy is, well, I know his politics. I know what I don't like, some things I may like. When's the last time you had coffee with him? Anybody ever have coffee with the governor? Been invited to his house for dinner. Shot around the golf with him. Went out to the movies with him. Anybody? No, and so we can treat God like that and think it's communion. I know a lot about God, but the only way that we get to know him is by spending time with him. You got it? 3 C's. What are they? Comfort, counsel, and communion. There they are. Why pray? That's why we pray. That's why I pray. That's why I make myself present to the divine presence. And that's big. That's big. Let's stand and pray. Thank you for your kind attention. I hope you get this. I hope you pray. Hey, take this home. Take this home. Pray. All right. Let's just pray real quick. Let me just pray for you. Oh, I can.